Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
And we are going to talk about something that's close to my own heart, because we all know somebody who shamelessly marches around the office wearing the lycra after cycling into work, or maybe the reformed friend. Remember those? They used to drink you under the table every weekend. Great fun, but now it's all about 5Ks and 10Ks. And there's no doubt it's a good thing that a lot of people have brought and bought into the fitness and wellness industry in the last few years, and plenty of people have become rather irritatingly smug about being fit and healthy. But Gabrielle Monaghan is a journalist and wrote recently about the phenomenon of wellness narcissism. We had to ask you in when we heard about that. Welcome, Gabrielle.
Good morning.
Can you define what a wellness narcissist is?
Well, there's a couple of telltale signs. The first one is whether you post selfies of yourself in your workout clothes, possibly of your reflection in the gym mirror.
Yes.
And another one is the humble brag. You'll see this on Facebook. It's a form of subtle boasting where you'll post something like, just back from a 10-mile cycle.
Yeah.
Totally exhausted, followed by the hashtag dedication.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You might as well just take a bullhorn and go into somebody's face with it and tell them what you've just done. Keep going. What else?
Another sign that you're a bit of a wellness narcissist is that you've done it. You regularly do juice detoxes and cleanses, even though there's scientific evidence to show that the body is well able to detox itself.
Yes.
And another one is, you might think that blueberries have magical powers. And now I'm guilty of this myself. I keep a ton of them in the fridge and I throw them on my cereal every morning. I think that they'll give me the brain power of Stephen Hawking if I have enough of them.
Yes.
I don't know where I got this impression, possibly from being way too immersed in the media.
Yes. Whoever is in the blueberry business must have thought all their Christmases came in one day when somebody started spouting on about the power of the blueberry. But anyway, maybe it was Mr. Blueberry himself.
It's worked.
It's working.
Yes.
Okay, sales are on the up. What else to define the wellness narcissist, Gabrielle?
Well, if you're on Instagram and your whole account is dedicated to your diet or fitness journey being in quote marks there.
We call it J-bomb in this program,
and
yes.
Yeah. And you'll slap about 10 hashtags after every post, such as eat clean, strong, not skinny, gluten-free, paleo.
Oh, my God. Sucking the fun out of life.
But these people gain followers, you know, so it's...
Well, because it's massive business and people... I'm in a minority and maybe... I don't know if you agree with what you've written. Okay, so we're in a minority about being sick of hearing about people's health, fitness endeavours. And, you know, maybe when I drop dead early and it's all very sad because I didn't take on a paleo diet or whatever, or ran a triathlon and talk about it at length on the programme, I'll regret it. But I think I'll die happy rather than pained and red-faced.
I mean, I'm not condemning anybody who's into looking after themselves. And, you know, and I've loads of friends and family who do this and don't, you know, broadcast it all and sundry.
Yes.
And they're adding years to their lives, but maybe those are the nappy-wearing nursing home years.
Yes, indeed, you know? And that's a very, very cynical but well-made point. And the fact of the matter is that we don't know. You hear all the time stories of people who drink and smoke and live till they're 110, and you hear the fittest man in the world who dropped dead at 38 while running the Boston Marathon. So you never quite know.
Yes, I cling on to those.
Yeah, those stories, and they're not apocryphal. They're actually a matter of fact. When did you first notice, Gabrielle, this sort of fitness smoke? Emerging?
I suppose, you know, with the onset of the recession, running became very popular, as all, I'm sure your listeners know. You know, it was cheap, you didn't have to pay gym fees, all you had to buy was maybe trainers. But then maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I was walking the dog down the street one morning and there's this guy running on the road alongside the traffic, and he's wearing a backpack and he's, you know, lycra shorts, all dedication.
Yeah.
And he looked like he was commuting to work. And now, there's hordes of them now, men and women, you know, wearing backpacks. Yeah. I saw them on route to the studio this morning. And this is now a form of commuting. And for some reason, I find this a little strange.
Well, it's definitely become a thing. The lycra clad people who are cycling the 3.5 minutes from home to work. And I think the joy that they have in that cycle, or at least wearing the gear is quite something. And then you probably notice it on Facebook, the proliferation of people with their photographs up saying, here we are.
Yes, you know, and I have a couple of friends like that, you know, you see photos of themselves, they're, you know, red-faced, they're wearing a medal, elated after doing a 10K run or running up a mountain in Mayo or bog snorkeling.
Yes.
The bog snorkeling seems to be a thing. Adventure sports. So this is what they do the weekends now. There's no more going out, you know, on Saturday nights, or maybe there is, but they're, you know, they're getting up at 7 a.m, you know, to go somewhere down the country for one of these adventures.
I think it's always a bit, not, it's not sad, it's just you see people who were as I was saying in the introduction, who were such good fun, and now they seek their fun elsewhere, but
yes,
they've moved on to a higher plane, a much more, I suppose, fitter and but let's face it, sanctimonious plane, and leaving those of us behind who like, yes, a pint still, and who
inferior like, beings,
and a good walk, and and a few jars, and good company, and don't mind being stuck in a pub. But we are definitely falling into the minority. Maybe it's an age thing, or I'm not quite sure.
It could be, you know. I'm you know, a bit of a misanthrope, curmudgeon, and you know, I don't think fitness suits me, though. I do make an effort. I downloaded the Couch to 5K app once.
Yes.
And I've updated it since, you know.
That's a great start, isn't it?
Done anything about it.
Yeah, well, then, you see, that's the problem. Maybe you need to listen to your friends more. The question, aren't the social media posts from so-called wellness narcissists just proud of their own individual achievements and want to share, to inspire?
Yes, that's an excellent point. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people will say it's aimed at, you know, motivating people. But if the person who's looking at these Instagram posts or Facebook feeds, you know, is sitting there on the couch eating a bag of curry chips, and they're not in the right mind frame, you know, to be inspired to, you know, go to the gym, and they see your posts and you're a friend or an acquaintance, they just want to throw the bag of chips at you in annoyance.
Rather than
get
up on a bike and ride. And somebody says 20 men cycling on the weekend is a midlife crisis, right? What's the difference between a runner and a jogger? Are you able to define one versus
Funny
the other?
Enough, I met someone while waiting for this interview.
Yes.
Just outside, and he's a personal trainer.
Of course he is. He was going on to talk to somebody else on the radio.
Yes, he was.
Of course he was, because we can't stop talking about this.
And so he kind of confirmed my suspicions. So with runners, there's a sense of freedom about it, and it's about speed. Whereas joggers, well, they're slightly lazier. Maybe they're more of the Jane Fonda 1980s vein, you know.
Yes.
But I've had a lot of people tell me, when I ask why they're wearing like a, you know, I say, oh, you know, are you jogging? It's like, no. I'm a runner, not a jogger. So there's a clear distinction, and I'm just going to continue to mess that up just to get a reaction.
Just to annoy them.
Yeah.
Now, these two Swedish academics wrote a book called The Wellness Syndrome, and this is a book that apparently documents the whole phenomenon. One of the authors got the idea after he was in a park in the UK, is that right?
Yes, that's right. So Carl Cederstrom and Andre Spicer, they are two professors of organisational behaviour, and they're guys in their 30s, you know, they're slightly into their health and fitness, but they wondered why it was becoming all-consuming. So one day, Carl Cederstrom, one of the professors, is sitting in a park, and this woman approaches him and says, "How dare you smoke in front of your dog?"
Okay, well, that's so, taking it somewhere else, isn't it?
Yeah, and he was, you know, and he's kicked the habit since. He was about a metre away from the dog, you know, but he started to wonder why health and fitness has become so all-pervading.
Right. Now, there's a thing called the corporate athlete.
Yes, the corporate athlete. So you'll see many CEOs of big multinational companies, especially in the UK and America, and they're becoming much healthier than their predecessors. Mm. For instance, Harriet Green, the recent CEO of the travel company Thomas Cook. So she said that she gets up at 5:30 every morning for a military-style workout. And she says to her employees, you need to be really resilient, so you'd better be healthy, have a good regime.
Yes.
So health is no longer a private matter. in the workplace now. It's so having a washboard stomach is a sign that you're boardroom material. So there's running clubs and yoga sessions offered at lunchtime, free or discounted memberships to the gym. And, you know, healthy food being provided at work, which is all wonderful. But what used to be a personal choice is now in the professional sphere.
Okay, well, we're smoking out our fitness friends who are quite unhappy with what's happening here this morning, 51552. Don't knock it till you try it. I do a 5K with a group and we have lots of fun doing it.
Yes.
And that's fair enough. I think the point is that's being made is not that, it's actually not knocking the health aspect of it.
No,
there's nothing wrong with having a healthy aspect. The point that I think is being made here is that it's the constant need to tell us all about your endeavours.
Yes.
Is
yes.
that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
You're not saying how dare people be fit.
No,
you're
no.
saying
I make efforts myself.
Already.
It might not look like it, but I do.
I went
to yoga last night and I had a nice rest afterwards.
Did you take a picture of yourself afterwards?
I didn't.
Did you share it with people?
I forgot to do it. Therefore, if I didn't post it on social media, it didn't happen.
Therefore, it didn't happen. I think that's the point. So people kind of get in the wrong end of the stick there. Being critical of people leading good lifestyles, how odd. And again, missing the point. I might be going out on a limb, says one, but were both of you really bad at sports in school? Yes, I was.
Yes, particularly in secondary school. I was okay in primary school. Secondary school, I had a note for PE all the time.
All the time, yeah.
Most of which I forged myself.
Okay, very good, because I was asked, did you ever play rugby? I said I did, but I took early retirement at the age of 11. Ryan, I'm definitely a workout bore, says Roisin, but running has got me out of severe postnatal depression and I'll carry on being one to stay well. Lycra over tears any day. Yeah, and a lot of people run to get away from problems. And
yes.
I don't mean that metaphorically. I think that fitness in the gym and helps people to escape from difficult situations and get them out of difficult situations. So we'll take that.
Yes, absolutely.
Text says, complete rubbish you're talking. It's easy to sit, drink pints. It's a much harder task, both mentally and physically, to complete an endurance task. You shouldn't have a pint with some of the people. I have a pint with sometimes. Or cycling, sporting, adventure race. Yeah, triathlons. Yeah, but if you don't want to do it, you don't have to shove it down our throats either. You're not in a minority, says the text. Let's face it, these people are just swapping one obsession for another. That's never healthy. Bandwagon nonsense, says a Galway listener. The hardest part of the marathon, says another, is mentioning it in every sentence you make. Everyone looking for self-praise. If I want to go 26 miles, I'll drive it. So it depends on where you're at.
Yes.
Bernard is on the line now. So if you wear those headphones there, Gabrielle. Hi, Bernard.
Hey, Ryan. How you doing?
What's your feeling of what we're saying?
I was just saying to your researcher there, I come from a small town about 4,000 people west of Ireland, and a gym there opened about 2 years ago.
Yes.
And I've noticed in the last 2 years that you're seeing people running around, you know, joggers, usually girls, like in summer, Lycra, buff, all the stuff you were describing, and guys as well. And there's plenty of people in the gym. It's usually younger people as well. But we've noticed it, because I'm 44 now, and I've been training for about 25 years or more.
Yeah.
And it was a bit of a niche thing. But now it's just exploded all over the place.
Yeah, it's massive.
It's bizarre, isn't it? For a country that prides itself on being drunk all the time, like we've gone down this path. Like.
But are you celebrating that this morning, Bernard? Are you saying, isn't it great that the country has moved out of the pub and into the gym?
Yeah, to be honest, because this town, like a lot of other ones in this country, is... And when you know the stories of alcoholism and what it caused to people and so on, and the begrudging, spiteful, poisonous attitude from the very same ones that I'm describing, I can't see anything wrong with it. A little bit of narcissism maybe goes along with it, but really, at the end of the day, compared to what it used to be...
Does any other country in the Western world equate the health of a nation to the busyness of a pub? I mean, how we only in Ireland can we say, isn't it great that people are running and doing yoga and eating blueberries rather than being in the pub drinking pints?
Yeah, exactly, because like you think of the Irish attitude towards good weather. They always go, it's a great day, we'll go straight to a pub with a beer garden. First thing they say, it's like if you were in a country, you know, where morphine was legal or opium, and go, oh, it's a great day, we'll go down to the local opium den and get blotto-like.
Yes.
You know, it's the same attitude of... oblivion, like, and from the same people, like, complete indifference to anything else.
Are you on Facebook?
No, fake book, nothing like
fake
that.
Fake book, good man.
You know, I know that, you know, no.
Okay, I'm just curious to know, you know, you're closer to my age, so those in their 20s and 30s who are lycra clad running around your village, I can pretty much guarantee that if we were to go through most of their Facebook pages and Instagram, that there would be photos of them telling us about their achievements, yeah, rather than quietly doing it and becoming healthy and fit and happily so on the QT.
Exactly. Like, well, the thing is, like, I used to be about 20 years ago very sanctimonious, but I've gone the other way, and now a balance. You know, where you go out and you enjoy, well, not go out anymore, but enjoy yourself as well, and not be totally over on that end. I think there's a balance, like what you were saying about a balance. You know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And I'm not competitive about it either. Like running 20 miles to the Sahara or something, and then onto the Arctic. This kind of stuff.
There's a lot of that. Eddie texts to say, Ryan, the wellness narcissist. I've got two friends who have this thing going on Facebook that likes to announce they've run 10k on a cold winter night. Like, I really give a how many k's they ran. One guy whose name I shall not mention because he's probably listening likes to give a stage by stage description of how much body fat he has lost and how much fitter he is. Between us, Ryan, I'd love to give him a smack in the mouth and roar in his face, I don't fucking care how much body fat you have now, kindly off. Please can these smug asses practice their smugness with someone that cares. Woof. Like, what is that? Like, Bernard, you're a fitness fan, so what are we to do with that sort of anger?
Well, that seems to be the other side of it as well, like people not, liking it. But, you know, you'll find that here. I came back here to this town about 5 years ago from Dublin, and I wasn't used to the begrudging attitude, the spiteful one. And I met a guy from school, a couple of stone overweight he was. I'm obviously not. First thing he says to me was, oh, well, you're looking well, aren't you? You've been taking care of yourself. Full of bitterness and spite. Yeah. You
know, like, welcome to Ireland, Bernard.
It's what we do best.
It's what we do. God, you're looking buffed and well. You're a fool. What? Why am I a fool? Tex says, I had a friend who was great fun once. Now she's kind of my annoying friend that I'd rather not spend time with. Instead of just saying hi, she'll say, oh, I'm just back from a 5 mile run and I'm so excited because I heard that next week Lidl are selling running shorts and elbow pads. And the thing is, she seems more miserable than ever. Yes to fitness, but no to telling the world how great thou art. You're here. That is the whole point. Ryan says another text talking about the obsession with exercising. I have to listen to it for about 4 to 5 hours every day between two or three of my colleagues in work. It's absolutely brain numbing to hear the constant talk about going to the gym, what they need to eat before and after the gym, what they did in the gym, the protein, the chai seeds, the water intake, the gym gear, and on and on. I'm 5'7", I'm a size 8 female, I'm in no way overweight, but I don't need /want to exercise every day or eat very healthy food all day, every day, yet. I feel so much pressure to jump on the bandwagon and become a fitness expert. Like most of my friends these days, please stop forcing your fitness obsessions on people who are happily going about their lives, eating what they choose, and exercising when they choose. There are plenty of other daily topics to talk about. Whew! We're not the only ones.
It's exhausting.
It's exhausting having to listen to people's endeavours.
I feel our pain.
Bernard.
I just want to say one thing before you might tell me to go away, but like to all those out there who think that actually more exercise is better, they're going down the wrong path, because too much exercise is heavy work on your body and produces free radicals, which are essentially cell-destroying processes in your body, which is the same as heavy drinking or heavy smoking or being poisoned by mercury or lead. So we can actually work yourself to death. You can have someone who's a champion bodybuilder, never smoke a drink, drop dead at 50, or like Flo Jo, the sprinter from 1984 Olympics, she dropped dead at 46. You know, you overwork your body.
Well, that's my father always said, do everything if you can in moderation. And that includes telling us about your endeavours. Bernard, thank you for your time today.
No problem,
man. Okay, best of luck. Thanks, I enjoyed that. Gabrielle, thank you for your time today.
No problem.
I don't know what we've done, because every other show I've ever heard in recent times only talks about the virtue of the virtuous.
I'm afraid to go on Facebook now.
I think you should
Twitter.
Be. I think you should be. At the same time, stick to your guns. I mean, this is what you've done here. You've unleashed hell. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Gabrielle Monaghan, thanks a lot. We'll talk
Bye,
about
Ryan.
It. Thanks for all those. Robin, good morning.
Hi, Ryan. How are you?
How are you today?
I'm good, thanks.
Are you nice and close to the phone? You are?
Yeah, I am.
You're not on some sort of off the, what do you call it? You're not in the car or anything?
No, I have it in my ear. I'm in the car, but I'm pulled in. It's up to my ear.
Good on you. How old are you, Robin?
I'm 20.
20 years old. Where are you today?
I was driving to college. I'm in college in Limerick in Mary Eye.
How's life?
good. Life is good.
Life is good. But we were chatting away about the health and the obsession, as much with health as with telling us all about it. And this caught your attention.
Yeah, and I kind of see both ends of it. I agree with people saying that people post because they're proud of it. But also it can be kind of annoying seeing things, especially like I used to run a lot.
Yeah.
And then I became obsessed with it. So I would say to younger people to be very careful when starting on a new regime or starting to get at the gym. It can be very dangerous.
How did you become obsessed with it? When did you realize as you were running, you felt, I need more, like an addiction? What happened?
Well, I started running about 3 years ago. Yeah. I was only 17 or 18, and I used to go with my dad a lot, and what started to be 20 minutes on the treadmill ended up being like 2 hours out running up like mountains and, you know, burning like 1,000 calories. And instead of doing the smart thing and eating back those healthy calories, I chose to stop eating.
Oh, God, that's not good.
Yeah. No, it wasn't good at all.
And what was the kick, Robin?
I think seeing the progress, like being able to see how your body can change by exercising. For me, at that age, I was younger. It was a really good thing to be very skinny. You know, like everyone in the media is all thin, like thinner is better. Mm-hmm. And then when I saw it was very easy for me to lose weight if I didn't eat my dinners or skipped meals, I became obsessed. Ben, I think it was the control more than anything.
Yeah, that's quite problematic, really. I suppose. Were you unhappy in your skin before the running started? I mean, you're only 17 at that point, but were you body concerned?
No, that's the funny thing. I was never overweight or anything. I was always quite small, but I think I was unhappy with myself just where I was, like in school and doing the leaving cert and stuff. So yeah. It was just a way for me to escape.
It's a lot. I think the fitness thing for some people is, you know, some people hit the pub and some people smoke too much and then some people run too much.
Yeah, exactly. I think you need to find a balance.
And the problem with fitness is that you think that there's no bad way to do fitness because the word is so positive.
That's it. People think, oh, well, if I'm working out and being fit and eating healthy, how could it be bad for me? Which is so wrong. It can be just as bad as being overweight if it's not done in the correct moderation, you know.
What weight did you drop to stone-wise at your lowest?
I dropped below 6 stone.
That is not good.
No, I mean, that's a child's weight.
That is a child's weight for a grown woman. Now, did somebody intervene or did you look at yourself in the mirror one day and go, not good, out?
No, I didn't think it was bad looking at myself. I was okay with it. I liked it, which hurts me now to think I did. It was my mom. Like, people who kind of suffer a mild eating disorder hide it very well.
Yeah.
I mean, they can bring their food up to the room and dump it and wear baggy clothes. But my mom is very hands-on. She kind of said, like, okay, this is not okay, you look absolutely sick, like, so.
But were you anorexic, bulimic, or were you a fitaholic?
I don't think you can have one of them without the other, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. I wouldn't see, if you Google anorexia or bulimia,
which I would never do, because I'd go to the doctor instead. I would never Google something that serious. Ever.
Well, when you're 17 or 18,
yeah,
you will.
I get you, but you know what I mean? If you were my daughter, I wouldn't be saying, get off the Google, we'll bring it to the doctor. That's what they're there for. But go on, I get your point. When you Google this, what happens?
So I Googled it before Mom stepped in, and like they're saying, oh, you can't be admitted to hospital unless you weigh this many stone and you're this height and you don't eat this much. So I was like, okay, I don't have a disorder, you know?
Yeah.
It's too broad a definition what an eating disorder is. And maybe if I had seen ton of difference, like what it could be to have an eating disorder, maybe I would have went myself before my mother realised how thin I was.
Yeah, I'm glad you got out of this though, because it was, you were on a bad road there, but you got off it.
I did, thank God.
So,
I don't know how.
Well, you do know how, because your mother came in for starters, and then you sound so bloody smart that you would listen to her. You know, you're not one of those people who's stubborn, saying no, I'm fine, leave me alone.
Yeah.
So you took your wonderful mother's advice, and now you sound so completely together and happy.
I am, thank God. It takes a long time to come back from things like that, but in hindsight, I'm just so happy that I chose to eat again. And
do you still have a treadmill in the house?
No, I do not. I don't have anything. I'm lucky if I go once a month.
Are you fit?
Yeah, I am. I'm very toned and fit naturally, which surprised everyone in my family when I became so thin and stopped eating. It doesn't mean, like, someone who is thin or overweight, it doesn't mean they can't have an eating disorder by looking at them.
And are you eating are you eating kind of aubergines and blueberries and gluten-free? How's your father and everything? Or are you just eating whatever you can without being excessive?
Exactly, whatever I want. I'll have a healthy breakfast, a healthy dinner, I'll use wholemeal pasta, but then I'll sit down and have my bar of chocolate and my cup of tea, and I'm just so much happier. Like, you have to weigh up, is weighing being a size zero more important than being happy?
I always wondered, did the men of 1916 sit down and wonder, was there carbs in this when they were thinking of signing a treaty? You know the way how generations become completely obsessed with things, and this generation is obsessed with you know, the 21st century is obsessed with fitness and well-being and mindfulness and things that are, isn't it grand for us that we have the time to be worrying about all of these things, but such is the nature of where we are as an era. But I'm glad to hear, Robin, that you're out the other side, you're carving away for Ireland, and not a bother on you.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you studying?
Early childhood teaching.
How's it going?
Really good, yeah. I'm in preschool at the minute, so I'm loving it, and the kids are just, they're great.
How are the munchkins? Are they happy?
They're happy out, and it's great to see them not worry about what's in their lunch.
Yeah, they're not worried about carbs. Oh, except nuts now. They're not allowed to have nuts anymore, of course. That's the other thing. But they have the carbs sorted, which is good. Robin, I'm glad you spoke to us this morning, because it's a salutary tale. There's no question about that. And I appreciate your time.
Okay, thanks so much.
Have a great old day.
Bye, you too.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Sinead.
Good morning, Ryan.
You're on now. You're talking to him now.
That's lovely.
Are you well?
I'm good. Yes, I am.
Congratulations on the baba.
Thank you.
What did you have?
We had a lovely little boy.
Human?
Sometimes.
Wonderful. What did you call him?
Kian.
Kian, congratulations. How long did you go did Kian come into the world?
13 weeks ago.
Oh, geez, he's only a, like a little elf pixie child.
I know. He's lovely. He's gorgeous.
Great. So how does that get us to exercise then?
I suppose since I've had him, it's just this pressure to lose weight. Every time I look at myself, you know, I'm a size 12 naturally. I've no ambition to be a 10, because that would just be denying myself food, and I love food. But since I've had the little man, I'm a 14, and I'm just, you know, it's just this pressure, I suppose, the media pressure, just to lose weight, I suppose.
The media pressure, that's people like me, right?
No, magazines, I suppose. You know, like, you go on Facebook and you can like a page, and next thing you know, up pops the OK magazine and see how I lost 2 stone in 5 weeks and that sort of stuff. So it's just that pressure from magazines and celebrities, I suppose, your baby weight.
I hear you. Do you know why there's an article in OK magazine saying, I lost 3 stone in 7 minutes after I had octuplets? Do you know why that's in the magazine? It's because they're considered to be extraordinary. That is to say, they're completely different to normal human beings. Everyone else, that is you and anyone else listening to this program, we're just normal human beings. So when you're a woman and you have a baby, you are bloody well entitled to have a bit of extra weight. That's how Mother Nature intended it to be.
I know that, but it doesn't.
Mother Nature didn't have a subscription to OK magazine.
No, I know. It's just all around you, I suppose. You know, in relation to me, and it's just so frustrating. You know, you can't go around with a little tummy after you have a baby. You know, it's supposed to be gone.
It can't be
as
if it's
soon
not.
As you step out of the hospital.
You're putting yourself under unfair pressure. Come on. You are.
Well, I suppose I am a little bit, but I just want to be back to the way I was.
But you can be in good time. You only had little Kian 13 weeks ago.
I know. I've no patience as well. That's the problem.
Have you started some class of regime or endeavour to lose weight already?
Yes, I have. Yeah, once I got the 6-week check, I joined Slimmermore to try and lose the weight, yeah.
God.
Yeah, once I got the okay from the doctor, I started, yeah.
And what about your eating habits and so on?
Well, it's just about, you know, moderation. You don't quite, like, I'm not the type of person where I'll deny myself, you know, chocolate or a takeaway, because that's not me. I like them and I'll have them. But it's just about, you know, moderation and just trying to get out and get a bit of exercise as well. Okay. But with two kids, it's hard.
I thought two kids would make you lose a stone running around after them.
Well, you're doing so much for them. You don't really have time to kind of focus on yourself.
I appreciate
like you're
that.
Busy.
Listen, I'm not in your boat. I've never given birth to a child. I'm not in a position to speak, but I can say, as a friend of yours, because we know each other minutes now, I can say to you that, you know, the biggest thing in your life is that you've just had a healthy baby, which you're so lucky to have. And you just, the way thing will, that'll happen in time. Just focus on the beauty of what you've just happened to you in your life, and worry about the rest of it in due course, because, you know, you'll get back to it in good time rather than in pressurized time, because then you won't enjoy life. You'll just be thinking about it all the time.
No.
Have a bar of chocolate, you know, have toast and butter, and just relax for a little while, and then in due course you can worry about that. But just there's the baby, healthy, you're not going up to Crumlin, you know, it's a good news story, so enjoy the good news.
We will
Don't mind the magazines, they're all full of junk anyway.
I know, rubbish.
They are. Like, they're great fun to read. We love buying them. We love reading them. But they're not real people.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They live in such a bubble.
They live in a bubble, and it's airbrushed, and the photos are all makey-uppy. Mm-hmm. You know that, Sinead.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay?
Okay, thanks a million.
Pressure off the shoulders, please.
That's it.
Okay, good luck with Cian and the rest of the gang. Lovely talking to you.
And you, bye.